Hello, everybody. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. Thank you so much for downloading this show, and sorry in advance. This is the second of two shows that we did at the Artisphere on Saturday, October 8th, as part of their one-year anniversary party. It was absolutely fantastic. We had full rooms. We had great sound in the room. Fantastic lighting. I couldn't see a thing, and there were spotlights everywhere. It was a very, very fun night, and if you were there, I hope that you also had fun. The only problem with these shows is the audio recordings did not turn out all that well. Between the shows, there was this really neat video playing with some 1950s, 1960s music, lounge act stuff, really awful, intentionally bad stuff. And the problem is that was turned off in the room, but not the recording. So you maybe can hear the last 15 seconds of my 10-minute monologue. And that's what you'll hear. That's what we'll come in on. So that's why there's a giant segment missing. If you listened to the last show, you know all about this. But if you didn't, here's what happened again. Once again, my desk microphone, the old-timey microphone that I use, that was on for the entire show. Thank God. Because the guest microphone was not on at all for any of the recording. It was on for the live room, not the recording. So when I interview Arthur and when I interview Lydia, you could kind of hear them, but you really have to hear them through my microphone. So I had to turn their audio way up, and it sounds like someone's going to be yelling. I did not do that. There will not be a guest randomly yelling at you. That's fine. The band recordings, Get a Tan, sounds fantastic. Nathan and Ian, the house band for the evening, they sound very good as well. The comedy sounds pretty good, too. So it's a passable show. But I really wanted to get this out there because I really respect and admire what each of our guests do. Arthur is a journalist for the Huffington Post. Lydia is a journalist for the Washington City Paper. She's a real journalist, and I'm just a guy that uses my opinion to talk about things I like. Brandon Wardell is a comic with a very bright future, and Get a Tan is just a great indie band, and I really hope that they make it, whatever that means, in 2011. So that's it. Here's the show. Please check out what all of our guests do. What they do is in the description of this show, so all you gotta do is go to the little thing that you're listening to this on and clicking those links and going there. And that's it. Thanks for listening, everybody, and I hope you enjoy the show. Oh, yeah, once again, weird intro, so it'll make sense soon.
Screams throughout one of the most classical art museums in America. Ladies and gentlemen, we've decided to take that show on the road and bring it to the Artisphere in Arlington, Virginia. And you, ladies and gentlemen, are the witness of part two of me screaming in a museum for hours on end. Put your hands together for yourself. We have an amazing talk show tonight. We have Arthur Delaney. We have Lydia DePillis. We have stand-up comedy for Brandon Wardell. I agree. He is a sexy 19-year-old. And we have music from Get a Tan. Ian and Nathan, take it away.
I love the fact that Ian knew that song. He's like, oh, I know two tracks on American Idiot. Nathan had no idea what one of the most popular songs of 5 years ago was. That makes me so happy. There's a switch on that, Ian. Will you turn that on? And then it will go green, and that means we can talk because we're very environmentally friendly.
The battery's charged.
We're fantastic. Ian, I had no idea. You're an engaged man.
I am an engaged man.
Let's hear it for Ian. Here's the sad thing. They've been engaged for months. I know him and his fiance. Not a clue. Not a clue. We've had probably 30 conversations, of 28 of which were just me belittling him for being a nice man because I'm insecure.
It was top secret.
Why was it top secret? You're getting married. Shouldn't it be the opposite of that? You know, you should have told me over Facebook, buddy. That's where people find out about marriage.
I find out everything on Facebook.
We didn't want to tell. I surprised my then girlfriend, now fiance, with like a surprise engagement, and I didn't want to tell anybody on Facebook because really I don't care that we once had a coffee at like sophomore year of college. So I posted a twit pic, and that's how people found out we were engaged. But only people that like clicked on that picture saw it at like 11:30 on a Friday night. So like 8 people know we're engaged 4 months later. It's fantastic.
That's by far the classiest engagement story I've ever
had. We got an interruption. Peter.
Sorry. Excuse me. Brandon, I've got some really important news. I'm sorry.
Okay. Peter's a producer of the show. What's up, Peter?
Hi. Oh, you can clap. It's okay.
Wait. The first show you said don't clap, and now you should clap.
This is the second show they're allowed to clap.
You weren't validated the first time?
Well, I've actually got some really, really bad news, Brandon.
What's that?
Well, you know, some of those, you just saw my Facebook, you know, some of those people that you invited to this show on Facebook.
Yeah.
They didn't make it.
What? I've thought Facebook meant you had to legally come to anything.
No, actually, they just I don't know if they just started it or not, but they you can do this thing where you click no on the invitation.
What?
And then you don't show up.
Oh, that's a shame.
That's true.
I'm shocked. But I'm surprised anybody could not possibly come
out.
Well,
here's the thing. You know, that might be kind of hard to see. So they actually, there's an additional user interface where they can go onto the, you know, right on the public wall of the invitation, and they can give a reason why they didn't come.
Really?
To... You know, so it's like sort of like, you know, the thousands of people that were invited to this, 9 or 10 people out of those thousands are able to say publicly why they couldn't make it to the event. Not only that they can't make it, but why.
What? You know what? That is very considerate of people. I appreciate that.
I know.
When people
really
can't come to an event, exactly why they can't come to an event.
I know. You know what I mean? Like, that. Those are the best people in
the
world.
Those are the best people in the world.
And, you know, I thought in celebration of them, you guys, who all made it, I would read some of the excuses that they gave as to why they couldn't come.
You know what, Peter? I'm very interested in why people couldn't come to this delightful event.
Well, good. I'm just going to read a couple of these,
okay,
guys. Gladys Smart Party says, I'm sorry I can't come. I have a cooking class at Sur La Table.
Oh, that's nice. I hope she learns a new dish.
I hope so, too.
Yeah.
That's what I hope for her. Charles Georgerson says, I would, but I live in London, England.
Oh, well, plane tickets are very expensive.
And he also adds, next time.
Oh, next time. Yeah. Next time. Okay. George-ish thing.
That was his name.
Okay.
That was a real name. Peter Heinemann says.
Wait. Go ahead.
Different person.
Oh, different Peter Heinemann. Okay. Very common name.
Damn, motherfucking shit. God damn it. That's the same time as my twins' preschool graduation.
Wow.
So that's another excuse.
You know, Peter Heinemann is an awful father because
bad
high
father.
School. No, sorry. Pre-kindergarten? Kindergarten?
That's it.
Preschool?
Yeah.
Preschool graduation should not take place at 11 p.m. on a Saturday evening. I just think that's a little bit too late.
Here's another one with a name that I didn't make up yet. Ooh, I can't go. I have to wash my Rhodesian Ridgeback, Daphne. She got dirty while we were backpacking in the Shenandoahs.
Well, that person's got a lot going
let's
on.
Let's clap for her.
Yeah, let's clap for her.
Or him. And the final one is from John Stossel.
John Stossel.
And he says...
Is it the famed reporter John Stossel?
Yes, actually.
Oh, good. Wait, is he your friend or my friend?
He's actually...
is he Artisphere's friend?
I think he's actually the band's friend.
Oh, he's Nathan's friend.
Yeah,
oh,
I think he's Nathan's friend.
They're both into conspiracies. It makes sense.
He says, I'm not going to be able to make this because I am so stupid that I don't realize that nobody gives a shit why I can't go to any particular event, because of which stupidity I accidentally swallowed a light bulb and then stuck my tongue into an electric socket and exploded.
Well, so that explains a lot about John Stossel, actually.
True,
it's very important. Well, Peter, I'm very glad that you informed us about that. I had no idea that people could inform everyone in the world why they are so important, that they couldn't possibly be in an event that thousands were invited to. So I appreciate your knowledge on this info. That didn't make sense, the last line. I apologize again.
Thanks.
All right, Peter Heinemann, everybody. All right, our first guest of the second show is a very, very, very big Green Day fan, and that's why he's going to be on stage. He writes for the Huffington Post. He's a journalist. He's also an author. We're going to talk about why he's an author. I'm trying to say this because of alliteration. Please put your hands together for Arthur Delaney, everybody. Arthur Delaney, everybody. Arthur! Arthur, you write for Huffington Post.
That's right.
Do you get paid?
I do get paid.
Wow, so you're like one of a thousand.
That's right. Yeah.
How's that going?
They pay well.
Do they?
Yeah, it's not bad.
What's your hiring process like? Is there any way I could possibly get a job?
We should talk about that later.
Why can't we talk about it on a microphone in front of people that's being recorded?
I'm not authorized to hire people.
Why not?
Because I'm not the boss.
Why aren't you the boss?
Because I'm not Ariana Huffington.
I think I'm the boss because James Brown paid the cost for me to be the boss. What do you think about that, Arthur?
I didn't understand that.
That's fair. You just wrote a book! Or you released a book!
That's, yeah, an e-book.
And, ugh.
It's not a real book.
Ugh. So sign somebody else's book. Why don't you? Because you can't do book signings. That's right. What's the name of your book?
It is called People's History of the Great Recession.
Oh, that sounds depressing.
It's a downer.
Why did you do this? Do you think Studs Terkel working wasn't enough for you?
I guess it wasn't. We needed a new batch of downers to bring down America.
Great booking. This is fantastic. I definitely know Arthur has a job because he's got fantastic teeth, which makes me think you have dental care.
Thank you. I do have dental care.
You do have.
I swear, I have a salary. I have benefits.
All right.
Including dental.
All right. So the recession.
The recession.
How can we get over this? I'm tired of it. Fix it.
That's. It's funny you say that because people are tired of it.
Really? I'm shocked. I had no idea people would be tired of being shitty and sad.
Yeah. Well, people are starting to disbelieve that it even is a problem.
Here's my problem with the term recession. I've always been poor. I come from dumb people that shouldn't have bred. I shouldn't be here. Like, why? This is not the recession. This is just life, isn't it?
People who don't have radio shows think it's even worse.
I don't have a radio show, so this is a podcast.
Well, you know what I meant.
No, I don't. I'm very dumb because I don't have any full-time jobs. I've realized my entire life, besides 1 year of existence, I've technically been under or unemployed. I'm 49.
It looks like you are not 49.
I've aged remarkably well. Well, when you don't work, you know, we're just lazy people. Speaking of lazy people, a segue I just made up in my head. You said that lazy people aren't unemployed. People that are unemployed aren't necessarily lazy.
What? The unemployed are not lazy. That's I would say.
So
that.
You're a Democrat.
Yes.
Okay.
I guess that is what that means.
What's the most? All right, Artisphere. Yeah, because how many people in here are Republican? You're not supposed to talk about Republicans. Yeah. Okay, the people that are doing comedy bits do not count as real people because you are not. You don't get to vote at all. That's the way the America works. What's the saddest part of D.C. in terms of economics?
The saddest part of Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, pick one.
The really poor parts are pretty sad.
Why is that?
Because they have no money.
Yeah, how could they get money?
I don't know. I mean, these are
then why should people buy your ebook? I thought it was a get-rich-quick book.
No.
What?
I'm not offering any solutions.
I've been lied to.
No, I'm here to tell you it all sucks.
What's the difference between a journalist and an indie rocker? You liked that one, didn't you?
That question is for me.
Yeah, answer it.
It sounded like just something you were wondering.
I'm posing it to you.
I don't know. I mean, what a journalist writes and an indie rocker plays music.
But you're both sad. And you sing and talk about sad things.
An indie rocker.
And no joy comes from any of it.
That's profound. Sorry, guys. There's no joy.
That's why I only listen to metal.
Yeah.
What's your favorite metal band?
I love Pig Destroyer.
They're more of an industrial band. I think you're getting you're copping out here.
That's a local metal band.
Yeah, whatever.
They're from the Baltimore area.
Oh, Baltimore's local now?
Sure.
Now you're bringing that sadness to the Arlington area? You're bringing The Wire here? We're going to do one man. Oh, we should have done that. We should have just read the script of The Wire. You like The Wire?
I actually have not watched The Wire.
What? Does Huffington Post know this? I don't think you'd have a job.
I watched a later episode and just could not understand what was going on.
Yeah, watch the whole series in like 3 weekends, like a real man. Your favorite bar recently burned down, the Tune Inn.
Yeah.
What do you do now? Where do you drink?
I just stay home. It's right. Terrible.
Do you have anything positive to say?
You have lovely teeth.
Oh! You want to see a hole? Check it out. I had a hole. There was a hole in my tooth, so they're like, we can't fix this. Let's just pull the whole thing out. And here's why you shouldn't go to a dental school.
Cause I said you have lovely teeth. No.
It's my turn. They told me, like, you don't need to get that fixed. The other three teeth will slide down into the hole. I went to a real dentist 6 months later. They're like, that's not how teeth work, idiot. The other teeth on the top are going to fall into it, so I'm going to look like Lisa in the episode where she needs braces and she has the future Lisa episode. You ever know that? Okay, so you guys don't know season 5 of The Simpsons. All right, fuck you guys. No, that's a lie. Not fuck you guys. Good guys. Anyways.
It sounds like you really don't have dental.
I don't have dental. I feel awful. Do you like what you write about?
Well, I don't like that people are unemployed and that you know, things are bad, but I do love my job, yeah.
It seems like you have a very important job, but it's probably very draining.
People always say that. People always say, doesn't it get you down? But it doesn't.
Why not? Are you soulless?
Well, because, no, when I'm talking to somebody...
Wait, why were somebody clapping to that? I hope that was your fiance, by the way.
No, interviewing an unemployed person is just an automatic reminder that I'm employed.
Yeah, that's a good point. How much you make?
Oh,
don't
that,
answer
that is very
me.
Personal. No.
Well, when you're in a
I'm well paid, like I said earlier.
Whoa!
I'm doing fine. I'm not a rich man.
I'm sorry. I didn't actually think you'd actually say anything after that stupid question. You seem like a very nice man.
Thanks.
Well, what made you want to become a journalist?
I'm not sure. Just outrage. I was outraged.
What were you outraged about?
The cops. Yeah.
Wait, really?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, how old are you?
I'm 28.
When did you decide to become a journalist?
When I was 23.
Why were you outraged at the cops at 23?
Because
did they keep stealing your skateboard? What's the problem?
Yeah, stuff like that. No, I didn't have a skateboard problem. There were things to write about it in the city. So
where are you from?
That's what I tried to do. Washington.
Really?
Yeah.
It seems like the absolute best and worst place to write about not politics. Because you write about real people, not assholes that visit.
That's right.
Yeah, that seems to be quite difficult in D.C.
No, it was fun. It was a very fun to write.
Are you
going to
try to stay in D.C. as long as possible?
I could do that. Yeah, I don't like the weather very much.
Why don't you like the weather?
It's too hot.
You more and more. I'm from Chicago.
Yeah.
It's cold there.
Yeah.
It's called the Windy City.
That sounds lovely.
It's okay. It's medium. Why should people read your stuff on Huffington Post?
People should read my stuff on Huffington Post because...
This has become high school debate, ladies and gentlemen.
I am writing about what the problems that our fellow Americans are going through, and people ought to know. People ought to know.
Did you read Nickel and Dimed by what's her name, Barbara Einreich?
Fantastic book.
Yeah.
Which was recently reissued. She said in the new introduction she did that she couldn't have done the book these days because, you know, in this book she takes terrible jobs mm-hmm. just to prove that you can't make a living.
She works as a diner waitress mostly.
Right. And she said she couldn't have done the book now because she couldn't have even gotten the job.
Yeah.
Which I think is true.
Here's how you know you're always poor. I went to Barbara Einreich's signing for when Nickel and Dime first came out. I think it was like in 2003 or something like that, at a bookstore in Oak Park. And everyone there was middle to upper middle class, and they had a lot of questions for her. And I was a poli-sci asshole kid that liked Bad Religion. Still do. So I asked Barbara Einreich, what is your book actually doing? And anyone that actually reads your book can actually make any sort of change. And all the poor people like me already know things are shitty. Why do you do this? And she goes, and I go, you're wrong. And I like to think I'm still right. There wasn't really a point of that. And I apologize to the listener at home. What I'm trying to say is I've grown up, Arthur, and I think that your work is extremely important. And you're probably much, much better than Barbara Einreich because you don't seem very preachy. Are you preachy?
I'm not.
Fantastic. We're going to end this rambling interview with a question from the Book of Questions, Love and Sex by Gregory Stock, PhD. Arthur, if you feel uncomfortable in any way, lie, okay? Right. Please pick a number between 13 and 200.
13.
Good answer. Why 13?
You said 13.
That's good. Did you hear the last number I said? Mm-mm. Fair enough. I like you a lot, by the way.
Thank you.
You seem like a nice guy.
Let's have a beer.
Okay. In what ways do you and your partner compete with each other?
In tennis.
Do you play tennis?
Occasionally.
Really?
No,
did you play in high school or college?
Competition.
Okay.
No, this is amateur.
So you're an amateur tennis player writing about the unemployed.
Tennis is the sport where love means nothing.
Well, since you've resorted to bumper sticker slogans, it's time to end this interview. Arthur Delaney, everybody! playing Wipeout? Yeah, no? Okay, good. Our next...
I don't even know what's going on.
He said he doesn't even know what's going on. He obviously doesn't know what's going on because this is being recorded and he doesn't have a mic in front of him. Our next guest... Congratulations on your engagement, buddy. Okay, I moved to D.C. roughly a year ago. I met our first guest roughly a year ago. Ever since then, I feel ashamed of my writing. We write for the same publication. She's an actual staff writer. I'm a freelancer. And she makes me extremely, extremely happy slash depressed to live in D.C. Please put your hands together, everybody, for Lydia DePillis, everybody. Lydia, come on up. Lydia, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm a little sick, so if I expire in the middle of this.
Hey, Drew, sound guy. She's sick, so you're going to want to turn her the way the fuck up if possible.
Okay.
Lydia, how are you?
Good. I'm croaking. So.
You are croaking.
Yeah.
Okay, Lydia, you're a real journalist. I'm not... No. Arthur, this is not about you. This is about me. I'm totally serious. We both write for the city paper. I am not a journalist. Why did I say it in that tone? You're a real journalist. You go out and literally, like, chase stories. You're, like, out of a 1940s movie.
Yeah?
Why do you do this for an alt weekly? Can't you just lie? No one would know the difference.
Oh, my God, Brandon. That's so insulting.
No, it's not... Well, it's insulting to the readership, but not you.
No, we like to consider ourselves truth tellers at the city paper.
That seems depressing.
I mean, if the truth is depressing.
When haven't you written a depressing story?
That's true. At the city paper, we like we generally chase after crushed dreams, and anything that will tear down the powerful. So if you find that sad, then
has it ever worked?
Yes.
Name one time.
In the city paper's history?
Yeah.
Well, Jason Chirkus, who's now a colleague of Arthur's, mm-hmm. at the Huffington Post, got the head of the Children and Family Agency of D.C. fired just recently.
That's awesome.
But sometimes it's hard to tell whether you got someone fired or whether they just had it coming.
But you essentially make it happen. If they didn't have it, if they have it coming, how is it going to be exposed without someone like you?
Usually, I'll give you an example from my writing recently. I had the sense that the little blue buses that take you around on the mall, there was something sketchy about them. I had this grudge against the National Park Service. And that's...
Ooh, wait. Why?
It's a long story. But mostly because they have a really terrible... Am I allowed to swear on this podcast?
Con, go ahead. Not you. I'm just saying because that's the most offensive swear word for white people to say. Go ahead.
I agree. Anyway, their spokesperson is an asshole, and so he makes the National Park Service look just really terrible.
Really?
Anyway, the Park Service is... Oh, my God. This is going to be a really long story.
Make it quick.
Okay. Being a local journalist in D.C. is complicated because there's the federal government, which steps on D.C. in a whole lot of ways.
Okay.
And the Park Service, which runs Yosemite in a really great way, runs D.C.'s parks in a really terrible way. So they also run Tourmobile. And it so happens that Tourmobile had been crushing out competition. Like the guys who ride around in little bike...
Rickshaws?
Rickshaws.
Uh-huh.
I think they have a different name.
Pedicabs.
Got it. And the circulator bus and like all other forms mm-hmm. of transportation on the mall. And they just didn't... Their contract didn't allow them to do this. It's been renewed like on and over and over and over again. And it was illegal. And I met up with some lawyers who knew this. And we published a story about it. And now the Tourmobile is ending service at the end of the month. But did I cause that?
Yes, you literally caused that.
It makes it look like I did.
You did all the work.
It makes me look really good.
All right, stop.
I like to think that...
No. You did all the work. You made it happen. Take the compliment. That's the problem with every good Democrat. You never actually take credit for any of the awesome shit you did.
Anyway.
You made things better and less shitty. Take the compliment. You're off. And here's the problem, though. Lydia doesn't... She'll never have a big head. She's going to work her whole fucking life and be an awesome lady, and then hopefully some rich cokehead will be giving her a prize. But no, she deserves the prize now, goddammit. Sorry about that. You housing complex blog.
Yeah.
You write for that.
Yes.
How is that going?
How's it going?
Yeah.
It's good.
You're up at like 6 a.m. every day doing work.
I get up really early.
And you don't get paid hourly.
No, man.
Oh, my God.
I like to think it's what I would be doing anyway if And now I have an excuse to do it because I'm paid for it. So I'm one of those weird blogger breeds.
Yeah, you are. But you're not a blogger. You're a real journalist. And I am insulting bloggers here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the new age of media, Brandon.
Oh, no, it's not. It's the same age with different titles. You're the one that's actually going out there and making stuff happen. I'm a blogger. Like, let's be honest. I write about comedy and use
that's
my opinion
true.
To
We're
make
all
fun of others.
Now. I'm sorry.
That's highly depressing. We're all bloggers now. Maybe put that in a City Paper t-shirt. It'll help when I offend the next owner of whatever football team is in town. I'm not saying the name.
I did not claim credit for that, but City Paper did reap the rewards, I've got to say.
Well, they also kind of got screwed financially because of that.
No, because our wonderful readers helped us out a whole lot.
Because are our wonderful readers rich?
No.
Exactly. So they had to take...
We're like the Barack Obama of getting sued by Dan Snyder.
So we do a lot of good work and no one gives us credit and then a bunch of rich white racists hurt us?
I meant that in the
I'm saying the Tea Party's a bunch of rich white racists. That's what I'm saying.
I'm not going to disagree with you on that.
Playing to the crowd. Lydia, what is the one thing that gets you up in the morning? Why do you continually do this? It seems like a thankless effort.
Really?
No, I lied. It's the best.
People thank me for it all the time.
Well, I thank you for all the time because I know what you do, and I can't imagine doing that.
No, it's just no. I think in part, it's compulsive. If you were raised blogging, you sort of have to do it all the time.
Okay, that's the first time that sentence has ever been uttered. If you were raised blogging,
I started blogging, I guess, in my freshman year of college.
Okay, you didn't start.
No, so I wasn't, like, born blogging, yeah. But...
Were you born in a onesie with Wilco on the front?
No, my parents did not know who Wilco was.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
What's the one piece of advice you have for aspiring journalists out there?
Don't write about what everyone else is writing about.
That's good.
That's pretty basic.
That's good. All right, we're going to end this interview with a question from The Book of Questions, Love and Sex by Gregory Stock, PhD. Once again, feel free to lie. Pick a number between 15 and 200.
200.
Fair enough. Number 200. Oh, wow. Ugh. Oh, good luck. Do you think you could be happy if you looked into the future and saw that you would never have a permanent mate or family?
Yes.
Lydia DePillis, everybody.
Thanks, Brandon.
Hi, everybody. We're technically still in the Artist Fair show from Saturday evening, but it's actually Monday evening, and Brandon Wardell has just done a different show that I produce. It's called 8x8, and Brandon Wardell did an amazing set. And the reason why I mentioned that he did an amazing set is he's a very funny man. He's in the talk show before, and on Saturday he did the talk show for the second time. He was not happy with his performance, and I was very happy with his performance, and he asked me to cut it. Rather than cut that performance, I decided to talk to Brandon about why he wanted me to cut the performance you're about to listen to. So, Brandon, why did you want me to cut that performance?
I didn't think it went well. I don't know, I got there, and then, like, right when I got there, Peter comes up to me and is like...
Peter's a producer of the show.
Right. Peter Heinemann. Peter the Hyman man came up to me and he was like, hey, you're going up next. And I was like, oh, I'm not ready. And I feel like I sort of went on autopilot.
Okay.
I feel like that was a part of it. And I feel like my heart wasn't in it. You
know? Why wasn't your heart in it?
My heart wasn't in it because, like, my mind wasn't in it, you know?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm a very bad improviser, Brandon Wardell.
You know, if one's not in it, neither's in it, you know?
So do you want people to listen to the next part of the show, or do you not want them to listen to the next part of the show?
Fast forward to there was a band, right?
There was a band, Get a Tan.
Do they have, like, indie blog buzz? Because they, like, should.
I don't know if they do.
They were, like, really good.
They were very good.
And I felt like I heard them on a blog before, but I don't know if I did. I really liked them.
I hope you liked them. Well, I think it was good. You thought it was bad.
Right.
And
yes. I mean, I think I like most sets, like, I think I'm doing, like, worse than I am. But I can, like, objectively say that was not... good set.
Well, let's hear his not good set. I think it wasn't bad. I didn't say good. I think it was a 6 out of 10. I've seen you do a 10 out of 10.
You're right.
I think it was a 6.
Okay.
All right, so here's Brandon Wardell's...
That's nice of you. That's generous.
Here's Brandon Wardell's 6 out of 10 set.
What was that song? Why do I know that song? Was it a Pumpkin song? Okay, which Pumpkin song, though? 1970. Oh, you played... Is it? Okay, don't look at me. Oh, yeah. Fuck off. All right. Our next guest is one of my absolute favorites. He's done the show before, and hopefully you guys will enjoy him just as much as I do. Please put your hands together, everybody, for Brandon Wardell, everybody. Brandon!
Hey, hello, hi, hey, what's up? Was that an applause break for my grading? I just graduated from high school recently. Yeah, thank you. Don't applaud for that. I just graduated from high school, and I kind of miss it. So, like, if any of you know of any places where I can be called a faggot by lacrosse players, let me know, please. Give me a heads up. Recently, somebody outside of my school, they spray painted the words "No Gay Zone" outside of my school, which was really weird for my friend Eddie Gayzone. You guys seem like real folks. You guys seem like real folks, you know. So I'm gonna like give you some real talk for real folks, you know. I'm like a youth, so like a lot of people like assume like I haven't been through a lot, but like I've been through like a lot of real shit, you know, like I've slept on the streets, you know. So I was waiting for the new Harry Potter, but still, I'd like to think that it counts. Is anybody bad at multitasking? I'm like the worst. I'm like the worst at multitasking. Like the other day, I was trying to brush my teeth and take a shower at the same time. Accidentally sucked my own dick. Right, fellas? You know, hey, come on. What? Right? You know? By the way, if any of you have been enjoying my act at all, be sure to check me out on Christian Adult Friend Finder. Joke stealing is like a big problem in comedy, and I think like the person that gets the most shit for that is probably Carlos Mencia. But I feel like he could really improve his public image if he just marketed himself as a cover comedian. Like if he just came out and was like, "You might recognize this next joke from Bill Cosby himself. Here it is again with more yelling and homophobia." I don't think any man with an internet username ending in 69 has ever actually 69'd. Like, I don't think Dragon Slayer 69 is like drowning in pussy. Like, I don't think we need to worry about him. I think he's fine. I've been volunteering at a sexual abuse hotline, ladies, and something I've learned is molestation, mo problems.
Brandon's high-fiving everyone in the front row.
Podcast listeners, you missed out on a great visual gag. It gets them every time. Let me tell you. I'm going to leave you on this one. I was at Walter Reed recently. I was performing for the troops. And, I don't want to, like, get too somber or anything. But, I really feel like we should all just take a moment, you know, and just say thanks to me for performing for the troops. Thank you. I don't want to call myself a hero or anything, but I am doing God's work. My name's Brandon Wardell. Thanks, bye.
Brandon Wardell! How do you think that went?
I'm not feeling great about it. I'd prefer this. I prefer doing this.
How would you describe your haircut to the listeners at home?
Bowl?
How's college going? You just started.
It's all right. I'm at a little place called Northern Virginia Community College. I don't want to like brag or anything, but it's like, you know.
It's good.
Yeah.
Are you in any clubs?
No, I'm not.
How similar is it to the television show Community?
Every girl there looks like Alison Brie. It's like crazy.
Is that good or bad?
It's oh man. It's something I just made up. Let me tell you.
You're funny on Twitter.
Thank you. Is that I don't know why you have to do that, Brandon.
People should follow you. That's what I'm saying. You're very funny on Twitter.
It seems like less of like it didn't seem like a plug. It seems like a passive aggressive comment.
No, you're very funny on Twitter. @ Brandon Wardell.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, people should follow me. Like,
they should definitely follow you on Twitter.
I'm definitely, like, killing it on Twitter, like,
amazing.
All the time.
Amazing.
You know, just retweets on retweets, faves on faves. It's crazy. Like
murdering.
Right. And, you know, like, I don't, like, I'm at, like, I don't know, like, 375, not great. But it's, like, I'm, like, an underrated gem of Twitter.
Yeah.
Look at the power users. You know, your favorite power user, probably following me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like a Twitter user's Twitter user.
Absolutely.
And, you know, people need to hop on the train
before it's gone.
Before it's gone.
It's out of the station.
Get on the ground floor.
That's right.
I was almost on Lopez tonight, you know,
almost.
So almost got canceled.
Whatever.
I was like
next.
Yeah.
This train's moving too fast for you, George Lopez.
Right.
You know, take a show off the air.
You guys,
you're moving too fast for him,
right? Like, I don't think what happened tonight, like, I don't know if that does justice to like me, you know.
True.
Brandon,
how much longer are you gonna be doing this stand-up thing?
Am I doing stand-up?
When is it gonna be about films and television? How much longer you want to be in this arena?
I'm in
when
it.
Do you move on?
I'm in it to win it.
Fair
Brandon.
Enough. We're gonna have this interview with a question from the Book of Questions, Love and Sex. I need you to pick a number between 15 and 166.
160.
Good job. I felt awkward when I did this interview with Brandon about a year ago because he was 18 at the time. Now he's 19. He's a weathered vet. 160. How do you feel when your partner tells you that you don't listen enough or don't express yourself enough? What about when your partner dismisses what you say as being illogical or not making sense?
This is going to be pretty pathetic answer, Brandon, but I don't know about partners. That's yeah, I
holy shit, dude.
But it's like, you know, we're in a theater full of people tonight, so you know, whatever, throwing it out there, Artisphere.
Where can people find you next?
I don't know. Follow me on Twitter and
@ Brandon Wardell.
You know, hit me up on all the social networks. You know, social networking powerhouse, Brandon Wardell. You know, I'll plug on the internet. I'll plug what's going on the internet.
Brandon Wardell, everybody.
Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to introduce you to Get a Tan!
It's a bad rap, as you know. But here's a tip if you plan to go. A really cool spot in the state. It's down the AC Expressway. Over the Delaware Bay. We're going to Atlantic City. We're going to Atlantic City, yeah. wandering, looking at home. Well, be sure to hit White House for a submarine. You see, zip off your high heels, the carpets are sane. You got your candy on the boardwalk all day. You transported to 1908. In March, it's cold and pretty in Atlantic City, yeah. After a night late, you can see the sun break. When your friends have gone to sleep, take a walk to the beach. The ocean's lighting up, the Ferris wheel's engulfed in rays. You feel like you're in a movie, don't know where you are, but that's okay. It's so serene.
Thanks for staying.
Let's take a trip, an adventure, a dream. In the camper off we go, flapjacks on the stove. This week's National Exploit Graphic Magazine had a feature on a land, tinsel and tan. Hear the sounds. Serve around through the smog, a purse holding a dog. How about we're finally here? First up, let's check out to see where stars are born. Colliders underground, beam to screens all around. Come on, let's go to the sanctuary. Look, a star that's in a lurch. Don't say a word. Hear the sound. Serve around. Drugs keep them dazed so they won't run away. They can't survive outside of here. Trip to Beverly. Now go on home and watch us on TV. If you said you'd love me, I'll be yours forever. If you held my hand, dear, I'll be yours forever.
Thank you. This one's called My Life is Sad.
My mind is so sad, I can't feel bad. The world is so pure, I'm so polluted and bad. So sad, 10,000 people are around. I feel so. those years bombing Indochina.
razor slash across the eye. Record profits are nil. Artist drowns in oil spill. It's a mid-Atlantic summer over our heads. It's a mid-Atlantic summer. I guess I'll explore around DC. Another 8 hours south from Myrtle Beach, you'll find a place called Daytona, 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 my second favorite beach, Daytona. I got into a pickle in Myrtle just now, insulted a biker in a tattoo parlor. He said, hey, that's a wonderful rainbow tattoo. I said, I'm into equal rights, how about you? Then I saw on his arm a Confederate flag. I said something ugly and we started to drag. Daytona, Daytona, I can't wait to get to Daytona. Pulled into town, spring break was in full thrust. I slipped into a bar and played a game of flip cup. I was doing pretty well, we almost had the win. Then I looked across the table, saw my biker friend. But to my surprise, he didn't want to fight. He just looked me in the eyes and said, you look real nice. Daytona, Daytona, can't wait to get to town. Why did you say a stupid thing like that? You could have been violent, you overreact. Well, I fell asleep in her arms again. We woke up and walked the beach and laid in the sand. The final space shuttle was taking off. We took a picture of her, sent it to her mom. Daytona, Daytona, love you, love you, Daytona. Thank you. We're good at 10.
Woo! Nothing says one-year art anniversary party like beach music. Thank you, Get a 10. You were fantastic. Thanks to Brandon Wardell. Thanks to Lydia. Thanks to Arthur.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for coming, everybody, and have a wonderful night.
Follow us on Twitter at YMTE. Friend us on Facebook at facebook.com/youmethemeverybody. And for details on Monday and Tuesday nights at the Hungry Brain, go to youmethemeverybody.com.